arrived, we introduced ourselves to the previous committee, to the previous delegation. Because we are a new committee of parliament in the sixth parliament, we will start by introducing ourselves. My name is Bulelani Magwanishe. I'm the chair of the committee. I'm the member of the ANC from Gauteng.
Komodile Richard Kyanji, Ukongolose, Western Cape.
Namathemba Seko Jebe, ANC, Gauteng, member of this committee.
I'm Jacqueline Mufokeng, member of the ANC, Gauteng.
Isha Mohamed, member of the ANC from Western Cape.
Morning, I'm Werner Horn from the DA.
Morning, Steve Swart from the ACDP.
Morning, I'm Tilibari Mraunzi from Limpopo. You see my party, I have no information. By dressing only when you enter the EFF.
Thank you very much.
Good morning. Good morning. I am Wilma Nyuho-Drufin, ANC member from Western Cape. Voicing for me is my sign language interpreter, Delphin, and the other sign language interpreter is Trudy. Thank you.
My apologies, Honorable Nova Trochan.
I didn't know that.
Can you introduce the delegation, Advocate Lakula?
Honorable Chairperson, good morning to you and to the members of the committee. Before I introduce my delegation, I think it is appropriate on my own behalf and on behalf of the information regulator to congratulate you on your appointment to the committee, and also to also congratulate other members here, since, as you have correctly pointed out, this is the first time that we are meeting members of the committee of the sixth parliament. My name is Pensi Tlakula. I'm going to ask my colleagues to introduce themselves. I will skip the two gentlemen, and then I will introduce them because there's a context there to their presence here. And then we'll start with my colleague, Lebogang.
Chairperson, thank you very much. Thank you, Chairperson. My name is Lebogang Stroomzama, full-time member of the Information Regulator.
Good afternoon, Chairperson. Good afternoon, members. My name is Sizwe Snell Kamtuze. I'm a part-time member of the Information Regulator. Thank you.
Good morning, member, Chairperson and members. My name is Colin Weapon. I'm a full-time member of the Information Regulator.
Thank you, Chairperson. We have an apology from Professor Tana Pistorius, who is a part-time member of the regulator. The person sitting on my immediate left is Mr. Max Tibela, who is our newly appointed CEO. And next to him is Mr. Prakash Narismulu, who is the new Chief Financial Officer. He's just 5 days old. He started on the 1st of July, and Mr. Tibela started on the 1st of June. Thank you, Chairperson.
So also on our side, although we elected you in the 5th Parliament, since we are meeting for the first time, some of us would like to say to all of you, congratulations and welcome.
Thank you, Chairperson. I'll just right away present the presentation, or speak to the presentation that was submitted to you, which is based on our APPs. Cognizant of the fact that there are new members of the committee, we thought we should probably give a brief, very brief introduction of the regulator, which is a body established in terms of Section 39 of the Protection of Personal Information Act, which we abbreviate as POPIA. And the regulator derives, I think, its mandate from two sections, not mandate as such, but its operations from two constitutional provisions, which is the right of access to information and the right to privacy in the Constitution. The regulator is a juristic person which has a jurisdiction throughout the Republic. And in terms of Section 39, it is independent, it's subject only to the Constitution and the law, and it must be impartial, perform its functions with and exercise its powers without fear, favor, or prejudice. And it has a dual mandate. It has to perform its functions in terms of the Protection of Personal Information Act and the promotion of access to information, and we'll talk a little bit about that. And the regulator is accountable to the National Assembly. The regulator is akin to a Chapter 9 institution, except that it was established only recently and it cannot be in the Constitution unless the Constitution is amended. But for all intents and purposes, it is like a Chapter 9 institution. It consists of the chairperson and four ordinary members, and the members are appointed by for a period of 5 years by the president on the recommendation of the National Assembly. It is interesting, chairperson, that the act says the members are eligible for re-election, but it doesn't say for, it doesn't set out the time limit, so we can be here until for life. I mean, if, because there is no term limit, it's the first thing that I picked up, because in bodies like this, it normally the legislation will say members will be eligible for re-election once, appointment once, but this legislation doesn't say that. So it might be something that has to be looked into, because we don't want people occupying positions for life. And the two ordinary members are full-time, and the other two are appointed on a part-time basis. The regulator is empowered to establish its own administration in terms of Section 47 of POPIA, and it does so in consultation with the Minister of Finance. To be exact, it's Section 47.5. That's the one that talks about the consultation with the Minister. And the funds of the regulator consist of sums appropriated to the regulator by Parliament annually, and the fees that are prescribed in terms of 1111 of POPIA. The regulator can levy administrative fees. Our headquarters, the head office is now at 33 Wolf Street in Bramfontein. It's important to say this, particularly for the members who are returning to this committee. For 2 years, we operated in four offices that were given to us by the Department of Justice in Salu Building. But from the 1st of January this year, we relocated. We are now operating from Bramfontein. We are sharing offices with the South African Human Rights Commission, which I think is quite appropriate that as an organization that works with us, we are situated in the same premises. I will not go into the powers of the regulator. They are quite extensive in Section 40. And for the new members, also to say that only Sections 1, Section 39 to 54, Sections 112 and 113 of POPIA have come into effect. The rest of the sections have not yet come into effect. It is envisaged that they will come into effect once we have been fully operationalized, and we can, through the Department of Justice, the Minister, approach the President to operationalize the remaining sections of POPIA. The PAIA function, as we might be aware, it still resides with the South African Human Rights Commission, and that function will be transferred to us in terms of Section 114 of POPIA once we have been fully established. I'm not going to look at the mission, vision, and values. We have simply put them there in order for the members to just be aware of them. And having outlined that brief history or a brief overview, before maybe Chair, with your guidance, before we even go into the strategic, the APPs and the quarterly, the budget, maybe I need to just say a little bit about where we are in terms of the establishment of the regulator, because I know that that question is going to arise, so we have to preempt it. The journey has been difficult. It's been very slow. It's difficult to establish a new organization. At the beginning, as the Deputy Minister, and we need to thank him for continuously holding our hand. We had a few officials, I think there were three, who were seconded from the Department of Justice, two administrative staff and the acting CEO. The Act provides that people can only be seconded for a two-year period, one and renewable one, so their second man came to an end. So what you see before you accept Professor Tana Pistorius is the sum total of the regulator. When you talk about the regulator, this is who the regulator is. So we have been able to make a little bit of progress because it's just us. We were able to, the Minister of Finance gave us permission to recruit the executive layer of the organization. So we did that. We advertised the positions, and because it's us, we had to sit and go through the 400 CVs. There's no one to do that. And then we did that. We interviewed. We shortlisted. We interviewed. And that's how we were able to appoint Mr. Tibele as the CEO, who started on the 1st of June, and then the CFO started on the 1st of July. Another executive, which will be the executive for legal policy research and information technology analysis, is going to start. It is one official. Yes, all of those things. She's going to start on the 1st of August. And then there's supposed to be an executive for POPIA, an executive for PAIA and corporate services. This area of the law is new, not only in South Africa, so globally as well. So it's a continuous learning curve for all of us. And while we look for potential, you know, in appointing people, we want to ensure that we also appoint people who will be able to take the organization forward. So we apply quite stringent requirements to recruit. So we have done that. We have done the first layer. We have offices now. We have the CFO. We have the CEO. It looks to the people from outside that it's small, it's insignificant. But for us who are grappling with these things, we think we have made some progress. We have also set and done the second tier of the organizational structure because we do things ourselves, Chairperson. Members would know that even the regulations, we drafted them ourselves, we went through consultation process, we did, and we tabled them in Parliament, and they were tabled last year and approved in Parliament in December. So even the organizational structure, we have one person who is an organizational development person who has been appointed, but to just figure out a person who has to do technological analysis to ensure compliance with personnel, with the protection of personal info. We have to figure that out ourselves. So it takes quite a long time. But we are almost done with the entire organizational structure, which will now present to the Minister of Finance. And we will then do a phased-in approach to the employment of the personnel, because we cannot employ everybody all at the same time. We are very nervous with budget cuts. I was sitting listening to the Office of the Chief Justice. 29 million, that is their budget cut, is our entire budget actually. So, because that's what our baseline is. The intention has always been that the Department of Justice had a small budget until the regulator was established. So it has been envisaged all the time that after we have done all our needs, we'll then go to the National Treasury and put a case for a realistic budget of the regulator. We know it's going to be uphill, but we'll put our best foot forward. Chairperson, my last point on this is that we cannot never ever talk about the fourth industrial revolution without putting the information regulator in the, at the center, because protection of personal information lies at the heart of the fourth industrial revolution. Without a properly functioning, or without a proper regulatory framework, and without a proper organization that functions, you may as well just forget about your fourth industrial revolution. That's the reality of the world, and the problems are becoming quite complex while we are waiting to be established. The complaints with the CCTV the cameras all over the place, the VUMA technology, CCTV, we are swamped with people complaining about evasion of privacy at everywhere you go. The gated communities, when you go into gated communities, the kind of personal information that is collected for no purpose, your car, your everything, your photo, and that information, we don't know what happens to it, and we even have complaint where that information in one gated community was breached, and because of that breach, people were able to enter the gated community and rob people in that gated community. So it's a huge, quite serious area of human rights, which I don't think we all have woken up to. And we ask, I'm saying this because I'm making an appeal to all of us, to the committee, to say, please help us to just get this structure, because while there is no functioning regulator, people are taking advantage of that gap, and they are really abusing the personal information of South Africans. Having said that, with that, I will now hand over, with your permission, to the CEO. I don't have to do this now. I am quite pleased, members, that I don't have to do the strategic objectives. I will hand over to the CEO to run through the strategic objectives, and thereafter to the CFO to present the budget. Thank you very much.
Before you proceed, there is a hand from the Deputy Minister, who I would like to also acknowledge. He was here for the Office of the Chief Justice and also for yourselves. He is quite supportive of the institutions that he works with. Welcome again, Deputy Minister. Over to you.
Thanks, Chair, and thanks for indulging me. I just wanted to add a point to assist or to highlight an issue. Just to say, look, I'm technically, the regulator is independent. I was here for OCJ because that is a department that accounts in terms of the PFMA to the minister. The regulator, though, is independent, but I've sort of stayed because of being involved in the drafting of the Protection of Personal Information bill in Parliament, and then also trying to assist them speed up the process of implementation. But just to highlight, because I thought it was more political, one of the issues that, following on from the chairperson, one of the issues when the Act comes into effect is that this opt-out process for telemarketing or SMSs or whatever will end. You have to opt in. So I think the requirements of the Act is that you can send out one message, but instead of saying, if it's an SMS, to opt out, send an SMS back or an email back, and you know, you don't, you know that with an email, they don't even know if there's a live email address at the other end. And the moment you reply, then they know that there is. But anyway, so that will end with the coming into effect of the Act. And I think it was particularly relevant during the election campaign, where there were a number of complaints with due regard to, I mean, certain, but regard, you know, there were complaints about people getting lots of SMSs from, I think it was a certain political party.
Than one political party.
So that basically, I you know, the regulator can talk about what they did if members are interested to try and get parties to agree, but that would change the moment the Act comes into effect. And I just wanted to highlight that in terms of the importance. And then every time there is a data breach somewhere, everybody gets very upset with the regulator for not doing anything, but they're not there yet to do it. So that's hence the importance about them getting set up and running. Thanks.
Thank you. Over to you, CEO.
Thank you, Chairperson and members.
Is it possible that you can go straight to the annual performance plan?
Oh, okay. Okay, thanks, Chairperson. So I will touch on the strategic goals under the annual performance plan and talking to each of them and the strategic objectives. Under strategic goal one, we have a strategic objective. Let me read the goal. Persons that are aware and understand their rights with regards to the protection of personal information. Then we have the first strategic objective supporting that goal. Develop and implement education, awareness, and stakeholder management programs aimed at promoting the protection of personal information. Then we have set three performance indicators there that we will use to measure our performance. The first one is approved and implemented public awareness strategy and plan for POPIA. Then the annual target reads as approved and implemented public awareness strategy and plan for POPIA. Then we have set out the quarterly targets. For the first quarter, public awareness strategy and plan will be approved. Then the second quarter, we will publish the approved document. So we will implement. Then the third quarter also will be implementing, and the fourth quarter. Then the next performance indicator relates to communication and branding strategy. We will have that approved during the financial year. Then in terms of the quarterly targets, the plan is to first have the bid specifications put in place for the appointment of the service provider. Then the second quarter, we will then advertise the bid. The third quarter, we deal with the appointment of the service provider. The fourth quarter, the service provider will have developed the branding, communication and branding strategy. Then the third performance indicator relates to approved stakeholder engagement strategy and plan. Then in terms of the quarterly targets, talking to your annual target there, we will develop the strategy and the plan in the first quarter. And in the second quarter, we'll approve the strategy and the plan. The third quarter and fourth quarter will implement the stakeholder engagement strategy and plan. Then under strategic goal two, a conducive legal policy research and information technology analysis environment that promotes the protection of personal information. Strategic objective one is develop and approve research strategy and plan aimed at ensuring the protection of personal information. The indicator is approved research strategy and plan. Then the annual target read the same as well. Then in terms of the quarterly targets, we will first develop the research strategy in the first quarter, and then we develop the research plan in the second quarter. Then in the third quarter, now we will get the strategy approved. Then the fourth quarter, we approve the plan as well. Then I'm moving to the next slide, strategic goal three.
a compliant environment that fosters the protection of personal information and promotion of access to information. There are two strategic objectives there. The first one is make guidelines for codes of conduct and produce a manual for POPIA. First performance indicator, approved guidelines for codes of conduct. Then the annual target is guidelines for codes of conduct published. In the first quarter, draft guidelines for codes of conduct tabled for discussion. And even in the second quarter, then the third quarter will consult with relevant stakeholders on those codes of conduct. The fourth quarter, the guidelines will be approved and published. Then the second performance indicator under the same objective is approved guidelines for the registration of information officers. Then the annual target is approved and published guidelines for the registration of information officers. Then the quarters, the first quarter will have the guidelines developed and will also continue the development in the second quarter. Then the third quarter will be consulting with stakeholders on those guidelines. And then in the fourth quarter will approve and publish them. Then strategic objective two under the same goal three, develop process for handover of POPIA function from the South African Human Rights Commission. Then in this regard, the indicator will be to have a signed memorandum of cooperation. So you will understand that when you take a function over from another government institution, there has to be processes that are put in place that will also involve your Section 197 of the Labor Relations Act in terms of transfer. So the MOC will talk about all of that. Then in the first quarter, we have already drafted a MOC, and it is being reviewed, or it was reviewed. Then in the second quarter, we will table it and also have it signed. Then third and fourth quarter will be implementation. Then under strategic goal four, protection of personal information through resolving of complaints. The strategic objective there is handling of complaints related to the alleged violations of the protection of personal information. The performance indicator is approved POPIA complaints management processes, standard operating procedures, and a manual. Then the annual target, complaints management processes, SOPs, and manual developed. Then quarterly, in the first quarter, consultations with the appointed service provider on complaints management processes, SOPs, and manual. Then service provider to develop and present complaints processes, SOPs, and manual in this quarter, we're expecting that to happen. Then the third quarter will be the approval of these documents. Then the fourth quarter will be the testing and piloting of the complaints management processes, SOPs, and manual. Then the last strategic goal is optimal functional independent information regulator. This talks to the establishment and operationalization phase of the regulator. Then the strategic objective is fully established administration to enable delivery on the mandate. Then we have a number of indicators that the first one is approved organizational structure. As the chairperson has already indicated that the first phase of the structure is being implemented, then we have just started working on the second phase, which includes also all the other positions. So the target for 1920 is to have the second phase approved. Then first quarter is second phase of the structure developed and approved. Second quarter is consultation with the National Treasury officials on the structure. Then the third quarter will be the consultation with the Minister of Finance. So there are two kind of processes here. The second quarter, it will be at officials level, ourselves with the officials at the National Treasury. Then the third quarter, it will be the members, the chairperson and the members interacting with the Minister of Finance in terms of Section 47, subsection 5. Then the fourth quarter, we intend having the approved structure in place and the positions being advertised. Then the next indicator is approved corporate services policies and guidelines. Then this relates to the approved recruitment policy. So as it stands, we are still operating using the policies of the Department of Justice and Constitutional Development. And as preparatory phase, then we'll have our own policy developed. Then in the first quarter and second quarter, third quarter, it will be tabled for discussion. Then the fourth quarter, it will be approved. Then the third indicator is approved delegation of authority framework. Then the annual target is approved delegation of authority framework. Then the first quarter will have the framework developed in the second quarter. The third quarter, it will be tabled for discussion. And the fourth quarter, it will then be approved. So the delegation relates to outlining the functions that will be undertaken or will remain with the members and those that will be delegated to the officials within the regulator in terms of POPIA and also PFMA and other legislation. Then the next indicator is approved employment equity policy. Then the annual target is approved EE policy. So in the first and second quarter, members, you will see we have put NIL. So this is due to the fact that we are still in the process of getting the executive officer for corporate services on board. So then we are mindful of that. We have put this now at the third quarter with regard to the development, because we hope that at that time the executive will have been recruited and assumed the duty. So the development will commence in the third quarter, and the draft policy will be tabled for discussion in the fourth quarter. Then the last indicator relates to identified list of finance policies to be developed. This is important specifically when we have to start working on our migration plan to move out of the Department of Justice and have our own systems. So from a compliance point of view, particularly from the finance area, which is highly regulated, we have to start looking at the key policies that have to be developed. So we'll first come up with that list. Then we also do need analysis, and then we have the final draft of that list in place, and we also start looking at those policies that need to be developed. So we've just had an engagement with the department with regard to putting in place also a separation plan, which will be guiding some of this, even in the HR area, because there's a number of policies also to be developed. Chairperson, thank you. Thank you, Chairperson.
Good morning to the Chairperson, the Deputy Minister, members of committee, and others here today. I'm just going to focus on the budget for FY 19 and 20, which is the financial year we are in. And on page number 16, it's the second column. Because the information regulator is still a relatively small organization, the majority of the budget is allocated into compensation of employees of approximately 19.5 million, amount for goods and services of approximately 6.6 million, and then for machinery and equipment of 2.8 million. So in total, the budget allocation for the information regulator is 28.9 million. But as a result of the high vacancies at the executive officer level and at the administrative support level, we will expect that there will be significant savings, which we will have to account to National Treasury for. So that is already on the cards. In addition to that, on the next page, we have submitted a request for additional funding to the Department of Justice and Constitutional Development for the current financial year and for the outer financial years, as we intend to start operations of the information regulator. We will anticipate additional budget is required. And to this effect, We've already had an interaction with the CFO of Department of Justice and Constitutional Development this week. We are planning a managed separation similar to that of the Office of the Chief Justice. So we will have to have interactions with the with relevant government departments, such as National Treasury. But as we implement internal controls and build capacity by recruitment, we see that the budget of the information regulator will start to take shape, and the operations of the information regulator will also start to reflect at the budget of the information regulator.
Before I open to members, I'm just concerned your timelines are too tight. Your organization is too thin. The number of policies that you are going to be drafting and implementing and approving, because we don't want to fight with you unnecessarily. So we must get assurance that you are sure about the timelines that you would be able to implement. Honorable Janje, Honorable Mofokeng, Honorable Mohammed, Honorable Horn, Honorable Swart, Honorable Laudze, Honorable Nivot Drachen. In that order.
No, thank you, Chair. I'll be very brief because I want to make the point. This is going to be, besides the newness, beyond this interaction, this must be the most nice interaction you can have with the portfolio committee, given what you're presenting. I cannot guarantee the next interaction to be as nice as this. And I'll explain why I make that point. Maybe the first issue, Chair, is to invite Metlagul as a member of the Constitutional Review Committee. You know, there's a door being opened about the amendment, and everybody wants to get into that door. Now, I certainly can think that we, on the issue of your Chapter 9 desire and proposal, and maybe the question is a different one to say to you as a proposition, so you might want to lobby. Why would you want to make you Chapter 9 and for you not to continue in the way that you are? It's not going to be automatic. The issue about you being similar to this and that might not make that door opened. So I'm asking you to do a bit of a homework about that desire to be a Chapter 9 institution. The Constitution you might want to get into that kind of space. So that's the first point. And the reason why I'm saying it's going to be one of the nicest interactions is that it's an establishment APP. This is what it is. This is an inaugural establishment. So I have to change my stance. I can't pull any guns here, you know. We've got to for example, the chair is making a point that you might be a bit ambitious in terms of your timelines. I might raise a different extreme to that, Chair. And maybe to start and say where we are now, Metlagula, you're speaking of this APP, and I'm interested at the starting point. When is that? Because if it is now, we're actually in the second quarter. So you should actually be telling us, but no, this is done. If that is the starting point, unless you're saying all of what you're presenting is about to start, which is not possible. Here it is 1920.
financially and so on. Because, and if that is the case, it means the CEO that came in June, that, for example, when we speak about the full establishment of administration, I should be asking the question, if you say National Treasury officials consulted on the second phase of the organizational structure, you should be telling us you've done that. You're in the middle of that. So I'm getting now into the practical thing in terms of your own structure and the quarters. But it will be answered by the question as to exactly where we are on this. And it might be a special case to deal with. Because I'm certainly not here to tick the boxes about some of these things. And then your two last point, Chair, I would also be interested in the kind of, beyond what you have presented, the action plan itself in your engagement with the Treasurer. Because after another 3 months when we call you, we're going to want to get progress. And that progress for me should have been based on you sharing that these are the timelines of our engagement. And why I'm saying I might be extreme to the Chair, the things you have raised in your quarterly basis as targets, some of those things, whilst the Chair says it's tight, I'm of the view that it's quite doable, some of those in 3 months, because some of it is about consultation. It's about approval. You know, this is your most easiest APP. Because the next APP, we would be wanting to talk about the numbers in terms of your core job, the information. Because this is one APP that is not getting into that Boylston establishment. And then my you did make the point that at this point, the only sections in operations are Section 1 as you listed them there. And the dependency there is the Minister of Finance unlocking something. And so maybe that's where the link is. But my last point, Chair, on the finance, because there's not much finance to talk about at all. So you besides the fact that you knew, so you maybe it's a good thing you are going to be starting this thing than inheriting it. That's a positive sign for you. And so there's no baggage that you're going to be carrying and throughout this process. But I was interested in the last bullet point about the regulator submitted a request for additional budget to the DNJNCD, hence my action plan, because I wanted to know how much is that you have asked for and for what particular purposes. Because we might be of support to you as a committee, but not without us knowing what is it that you're talking about. Those are my few comments, Chair, that I wanted to make, but it's only because it's an establishment. We only have got to help get you up and running, but once you're up, we will be good friends. Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Chancellor, Honorable Okay.
Thank you, Chairperson, and thanks for the presentation. I think I'm partly covered on the part of the budget by Honorable Janji. I just want to check on, I was expecting, I know that you are still a small office, but at least you'll be looking at the type of organogram that you'll be actually looking at as you grow. And I'm saying this because I was looking at you'll be having to deal with complaints management processes. And then it means that at some stage you can say that you want to have investigators, because you cannot say people are complaining and just take it. That it will be like that. That is something that I wish you can check on. And on the issue of stakeholders, I wish that when you ask the budget, you must really consider that, because stakeholder management itself, it takes time and it needs a lot of expertise. And your budget, you might find that it will be going on there. And the last part, it will be on the protection, actually, as the manual. I know our DM was part of also drafting this. When you look at Section 41, I was listening to Metagula about the office period. It says on, I think it's Section 41 and then 3, the members of the regulators will be appointed for a period of not more than 5 years. And I thought that it will also be covering on the chairperson. That was my thinking. But I think what you raised is very important, so that you solve some of the things that you'll be looking at. But you are lucky that the Honorable Janti was actually helping you to say that look at the members of the constitutional review, and in this committee you are lucky we are four. Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Mohammed.
So thank you, Chair. My colleague, Mofeking, have covered me on most of the issues. But just perhaps on the fact there's an opportunity, always historically, when an entity or a regulator, information regulator, is started, you may want to settle this matter of being an entity quickest. I think I read somewhere that you had some engagement with Treasury. Perhaps it's better to be an entity, for that matter, unless you don't want to be detected. But I think it's better, sooner or later it will catch up with you. So that's the one aspect, or my personal view on the matter. Then, of course, the organogram, now already the full one, as if other sections, as is envisaged, you may want to, and I'm sure you're thinking that way already, to give Treasury 5 years from now, 2 terms for that matter, because you would be 1 term, 5 years, but you've got to give envisage for future regulator also, so that the next regulator or regulator members wouldn't pass judgment on your historical appointments. So there's a process already as an establishment body, very critical. And then I was just lastly, I don't see it now, maybe I missed it, on the expenditure CFO, goods and services, I see you have spent something there. What was that? I don't have the budget here with me. What would that have been? Or just to give us some, what were the main cost driver so far, early on? I'm assuming it's meeting with stakeholders and looking at models somewhere. I'm just guessing, it's probably that. But maybe you want to elaborate on that. Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Horn.
Yeah, thank you, Chairperson. Firstly, in respect of the organizational structure, I think the words used today were the words almost done and to be presented to the Minister of Finance. But there is this history that as far back as the last briefing of October 2018, there was a, I don't want to say standoff, but a difference of opinion as to a whole lot of issues, the accounting officer, etc., etc. So if we could be apprised, it's good to hear that it's almost done, but I think it is important to ask whether all the issues have been sorted out. So that the almost done really means it's just to be presented and everything that had to be canvassed, sort of a pre-approval or a pre-agreement has been reached. Otherwise, you could be quite correct and the Honorable Janki could be quite wrong and we could still have months to come before all of this could be finalized. Then, Chair, secondly, in respect of the other executive positions, the presentation say they're in process. October last year, we were informed that they were to be advertised. So I think we need a bit more detail. Were they advertised? Has there also been a shortlisting, interviews, etc.? And is the are the appointments imminent, or is it still something that needs to happen? And in link to that, also in respect of the budget, the 19.5 million rand compensation for employees, if it could be appraised as to how many funded positions does that include, and what is the type of let's say support staff that is to be appointed as well. It's not good to hear that everything is still being done by the members of the regulator themselves, because then obviously we can only blame them. And it has been a slow process. And then lastly, Chair, something I think that should be of interest to the committee is that obviously the Chair has been appointed now at the United Nations in some human rights body regarding racism. Now, obviously, it's always something to commendable when South Africans are seen and accommodated in world bodies. The only thing that I think we must canvass is there's this history of really, as has been said today, going about the setting up very slowly. I have noted from media reports that it would seem this position is from 2020 onwards only. So the question is now, will that mean that the Chair will vacate the chairpersonship position? And if not, in terms of also internal arrangements and accountability, to what extent and with whom were the second position canvassed or agreed upon? And what will this entail in terms of absence from office once the time comes for this position to be taken up? Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Swart.
Thank you, Chair. I'm sure the regulator also is frustrated as we are with the slow progress in capacitation and it becoming operational. And just in previous engagements with the previous Fifth Parliament, I think there were three or four engagements, maybe three, where we were trying to help, but it seems that if one has regard to the legacy report and what was said in October in the Fifth Parliament, that the then committee expressed its frustrations. It said the committee is frustrated at the slow pace at which capacitation is taking place, given how important it is for South Africa to have a legislative framework that protects personal data. Worldwide data protection is seen as a key component. So I think this committee might be a lot firmer, and we need to find ways to assist you to become as operational as quickly as possible. And just on a lighter note, I think we might have foreseen this when we appointed the regulator and the members, given that one of our part-time members is Mr. Sizwe Snail Karl Matuza, and it seems that we've been conducting this on a snail's pace. But we are almost there. We are almost there. So I think it's timelines. It's for us, Chair, to see to what degree we can assist hiccups between the department, hiccups wherever they are, because clearly it would appear that there have been very few, if any, decisions that you've been able to take in terms of Poppy, nothing in terms of PIA, and I think that there are a lot of concerns around PIA and the Human Rights Commission, their capacities. So it is very important for us to, and as my colleagues have said, maybe the next visits will be holding stricter timelines. And I'd like to, as my colleagues have said, the first term is already passed. Where are we on those targets already? So those timelines are very important to us. Then I was just trying to understand, I'm not an accountant, but the finances, if you are foreseeing a substantial saving, I do understand that saving would be ring-fenced, and you are standing a strong chance of Treasury taking that money back. But at the same time, you're negotiating for additional funds from Treasury for the same financial year. Now, if you were to make a case again, we as Parliament could, in terms of the Monetary Bills Act, we could, but it's unlikely because of time constraints, but we could shift in your own votes, we could shift those funds depending on the powers that we have, because we're not asking for additional funds. We would be shifting funds. But I do appreciate there are certain Treasury instructions that saving would probably be ring-fenced. But to me, and this is something, Chair, again, we need to look forward going forward. Here, we have got certain powers in terms of the Monetary Bills Act. We're not asking for additional funds. We are asking for exercising our powers to shift funds from one program to one another program. And that is something we would need. Off the top of my head, I don't know if it's possible, but it doesn't make sense to me. If you're going to have a saving, Treasury is going to take that money back. That's what they do with savings. You've saved money, rightly or wrongly, but now at the same time you're asking for additional money. So you're going to lose your savings and you're not going to get the additional money. Surely there's some way that we could assist in that regard. So that's just something from my perspective. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Honorable Mulaotsa.
Thanks, Chairperson. I'll be brief. Advocate Tlakula, in 2017-2018, you underspent by 15.2 million. And the current financial, the 2018-2019, which was the following year, you are allocated of 27.4 million. The expenditure thereof was not detailed. It was just say compensation and employees is 18.5, goods and services 6.2, capital asset 2.6, without detailed explanation. So we'd like maybe even in writing so that we can detail the expenditure of 27.4 million for 2018-2019 financial year. Coming to 2019-2020, the current financial year, the department has allocated you 28.9 million and also saved 30.5 million for 2020-21 and 32.2 million for 2021 to 2022. They said it's for the establishment. So we just want to know how long are you going to establish, fully fledged established entity or regulator? Because if we're just saving money for establishment, we may take time to operate. As you said, now we are on the door of the fourth industrial revolution, which we need this regulator to start to kick working. The other thing is about the issue of PFMA listing. When are you going to be totally listed to be on the PFMA? Because I still remember on the 5th Parliament when you come and present, there was still being an issue between the Minister of Justice and the Minister of Finance, and we just want you to try to clear us on that. So the other last question which I want to ask is about this section 47.5, the consultation with the Minister of Finance. When you do that, where do you put the Minister of Justice? Do you consult the Minister of Finance, the regulator, straight alone without the Ministry of Justice? Or because the Act says so, it's like the Minister of Justice is nowhere there when you consult the finance while you are under the umbrella of Justice Department. So Okay. Thank you very much. The issue of accommodation, last the 5th Parliament, you raised the concern of the accommodation where you stay, the lift and everything, but I heard it's like now you moved to the other building. Are you permanently moving to the South African Women Rights Commission building, or in future you will need to have your own accommodation or not? Thank you, Chairperson.
You, Honorable Newport Trahan.
Thank you, Chair. My question is related to page 11, the public awareness strategy and plan will be approved, firstly, and then it will be implemented in the second quarter. So I'd like to know, how will it be implemented? For me, as a deaf person, public information, public awareness, the way I access it is important. If I cannot access the awareness, other people with disabilities cannot access it. So I would like to know from the start, how will public awareness be implemented? And the reason why I'm asking is that social media is so fast, and it's improving so quickly, especially amongst the youth. Sometimes the youth put personal information on social media without realizing how dangerous it is. So how is this information, how is the app going to go out to the youth? Thank you very much.
Honorable John Jeffries.
I have a title, but I was going to say I just thought the question, Honorable Janki's question on the status of the regulator, I wanted to answer that, not as deputy minister, but as the person who'd been involved in leading the subcommittee that finalised the papier. I think of the people around, it was only Mr. Swat, but he wasn't a member of that subcommittee, he was a member of the full committee. But look, basically the view, and it became then the view of the full Justice Committee and of Parliament passing the Act, was not necessarily that they should be put into Chapter 9, but that they should be similar to Chapter 9 in terms of a... members of the regulator, and then the CEO being the accounting officer. Now, although we had worked closely with Treasury officials who were involved when we were dealing with the bill, I think there was basically a gap, which then Treasury picked up on. Only the Chapter 9s have that situation. As I recall, you then have to be in a particular schedule of the PFMA. You can only be put in that schedule by legislative amendment. And that should have happened when Papia was passed, and it didn't. So part of the delay was Treasury, with Treasury, was the Treasury was saying, no, in terms of the category they wanted to list the regulator under, the... accounting officer is meant to be the members of the regulator, not the CEO. Okay, but the Act specifies, it's section 54, the Act, I can't now find it, I missed it, but the Act specifies that the CEO is the accounting officer in terms of the PFMA. 48.1, I'm told, okay. That's the issue, but my understanding is that, sorry, it's 52.3. The Chief Executive Officer of the Regulator is, for the purposes of the Public Financial Management Act, the Accounting Officer. So the intention of Parliament was clear, it's been thought through, the CEO is the Accounting Officer. And Treasury, though, were trying to sort of push raising problems. So that's, in fact, I think, really the amendment that needs to be made, an amendment to the PFMA, which is only the minister can't do it on his own. It has to be a statutory amendment to that particular section. So just to highlight that. I think if technology was so advanced, there probably would have been a Chapter 9. I mean, things have moved on. Chapter 9 has a thing called the Independent Broadcasting Authority, because at that stage, people broadcast. I don't think they do that anymore. The IBA doesn't exist. It's now ICASA, which I think has taken over the functions of the IBA. But I don't think it necessarily has to be in Chapter 9, but the question is, the intention at that time, and you need to decide whether you've got the same intention, was that it would be treated similar to a Chapter 9. And then also to say, well, there was an issue about what powers did Chapter 9s have. When the Act was passed, the regulator were given real power. Okay, there's no issues of making recommendations or whatever. They impose administrative fines for breaches, which if the people who breached are unhappy, they then have to go to court. That's what's specified in the Act. When it comes to access to information, they can basically determine whether information should be released or not, and if the person is unhappy with that, they have to go to court. So they've got, and a lot of the problems with Treasury were firstly the level at which the salary levels of the member of the regulator, then the salary levels of the officials, but you've got sort of key decisions being taken by the people in these positions. So I just wanted to highlight that. But I think, Chairperson, it's more an issue of an amendment to the PFMA and the schedule, putting the information regulator in that schedule rather than saying it should be in Chapter 9. But if it is a question of should they be in Chapter 9, then I would really say to Honourable Jankies that it's not fair to say the regulator must lobby. I think it's for Parliament and for the Justice Committee to have a view on that. And then maybe just to Honourable Mulawutsi's point, and sorry for putting my hand up, I just wanted to catch the chairperson's eye. Look, I don't know why, again, as coming from having dealt with the legislation, I think we put in that it must be Minister of Finance must approve, so that to stop the regulator from, I mean, this is before they existed, but to stop, so not these people, but to stop the regulator from running away and creating this huge body that was going to be over-resourced. But I think that I think they did consult the Minister of Justice. I mean, it's not a statutory requirement, but I hope that they would involve the Minister of Justice as well. But technically, they account to the National Assembly. Once they're up and running, in fact, they're going to largely account to the National Assembly. They don't account to the Minister of Justice. And that's partially there. It's there for reasons.
And that's similar to
other Chapter 9s. The Human Rights Commission account to the National Assembly. They don't account to any minister.
Thank you. I'll now hand over to the regulator.
Thank you, Chair. I'll respond to some of the questions. Of course, the question of the listing has not been addressed. It has not been resolved. It's still where it was because Honourable Wong, you'd recall that the Treasury wanted to link the establishment of the administration to the listing. But because we couldn't agree on that issue of listing, the then Minister of Finance, Mr. Nene, said, look, let's leave this listing problem to Treasury to resolve while we approve at least the appointment of the executives. So that's what's happened. So that matter is still hanging because we have a serious difference of opinion. I don't think in the way that we are structured in the Act we can be a national public entity in terms of Schedule 3. We are not. So, and Treasury feels very strongly that we should be a national, at least at the time when we saw them. But I think that will just go against everything that we stand for and how we've been, not what we stand for, how the regulator has been established and the intention behind the way it has been established. So that matter is still hanging. And when we meet the new minister, we'll put it again on the table. But for us, we have told ourselves that we'll continue with the establishment of the administration, and we will not let the issue of the listing distract us a lot, because in any case, there is the accounting officer who will account for the monies. For now, we are just a line item in the budget of the Department of Justice. That's why you don't see that our finances are not, we are not audited, because we are just part of the legislative drafting unit of the Department of Justice. So until we have been fully established. So that's the situation. Our timelines, are they ambitious? In fact, we learned our lesson because if members can look at our past APPs, we bent our fingers so badly. We were so enthusiastic. We thought we were just going to change the world, just being the five of us. And when the time came to then report, we found that we must have been crazy to think that we could do all those things. So now we are more circumspect, measured in terms of what we think we can achieve. And we thought through about this quite carefully of what we think we can do. And we think the things that we have put on the APPs are things, some of them we have already started doing them. It's not like we're studying the public awareness. And some of those, like the complaints management, it's almost done, being developed, the system and the process. So most of them we have already started doing. The organizational structure is we're just looking at issues of what you call job evaluation of the posts before we go to the minister. So we have done those things. They take a lot of time. Like I say, we sit as the five of us to think through this position. You look at the act and try to unpack to say what are the skills that are needed, the positions. So it's quite an involved because it's all new. We benchmarked with countries, countries that are like us, actually not five in the world. It's the UK, it's Canada, it's Germany. Those are the ones that have double mandates, access to information and the protection of personal information. On the continent, there is nobody like us. You have organizations that are either access to information or data protection. So there's a lot of learning that we have to do, and which we did, which is what informed, Chairperson, the organizational structure that we have come up with. The organogram, I did anticipate, Honorable Mufokeng, the question, and I said to the CEO, you really have to have that, even if it's on your desktop, because honorable members might want to have an idea. The Minister of Finance said we must do a phased-in approach to recruitment. So when he approved this, he approved for the executives. And then he said we must come back to him with a second phase. So although we've done all the phases, but that second phase, we have it here. Because that one we have completed. So if members, we can send it to Mr. Ramano, who can make it available to the members just to look at how the second phase. And then after that, we'll go to the third phase and so on until one day we have provincial offices. I don't know when will that be, but I'm hoping that at some point we will have that. I will leave Advocate Strom to talk to the complaints management system because she is dealing with that. The issue of the entity that Honorable Mohammed has spoken about, we really don't want to be an entity of the Department of Justice. We want to remain an independent institution as the Act provides. Because we regulate everybody in terms of processing of personal information, including Parliament, actually, in the way that Parliament processes personal information. So that's how, and it will be difficult to be in any department because everybody, unless people, we have given exemptions to be, but everyone has to ensure that they comply with protection, with the way in which they process personal information of individuals. So if anything that the honorable members of the committee can do is to really assist us with that issue of ensuring that the independence of the regulator is not compromised in any way. And then the expenditure for goods and services that we will do. I think what we're presenting there is the budget for 1920 going forward. We thought that the historical one for 1819 going backwards will come when we present our annual report. That's why you don't see the extension, the Honorable Juan, I have spoken about the organizational structure. We can give you the second tier, the accounting officer, the all the issues about the classification I've spoken. I'm going to ask my colleague, Advocate Weapon, to talk about the processes of filling in positions, the budget, how many funded positions. I don't know, CFO, whether you have that, if you have, because I'm quite sensitive to the fact that you are new, but if you have the information, you can then respond to that. I am not, the question of the UN is not a full-time position. So I will be here. There are meetings that take place 3 or 4 times a year only. So I'll be around. Of course, the nomination happens with the concurrence of, it has to be supported by the country and specifically by the Minister of Justice and the Minister of DECO. That's the only way you can be nominated. You can nominate yourself, even if you want, yes, but the country has to present you as the country's candidate. So, Honorable One, I can assure you that I will continue to do my work. And the regulator will not suffer because of what I will be doing. I can assure you and assure all the members of the committee. It's a lot of work, but it's something that I think is important for this country. I think it is important that we inspired the International Convention on the Elimination of Racial Discrimination. And I think it is important for South Africa to continue to participate, particularly taking into consideration. I'm digressing a little bit, but I'm digressing and responding to Honorable Horn that we have to be, as the country, continue to take the lead in this important issue of racial discrimination. And I have also seen, as I was reading, that the position that actually I am occupying here will actually assist the world to deal with issues of racial discrimination, racial profiling online, because that's where the mandate of the regulator and the mandate of the committee, come together. And it's something that people are battling with at that level, at the UN. I'm hoping that as the regulator, we'll be able to contribute to that debate. It is so slow, Honorable Swarte, that it is so frustrating. Sometimes it gets so difficult that we just sit and, but we have to do it. And we are committed, and we have members, chairperson, who are very committed to sitting. I mean, these things that you see here, everything, we write it ourselves, and we proofread, we type, no secretary, no nothing. We don't even have phone call. We don't have telephone lines at the new offices. But we are committed. We use our resources and subsidize the state to do the work that we're supposed to do. But it has to be done. And we are committed to ensuring that the regulator functions, and that we're going to do. But it is slow. That's in the nature of a bureaucracy. It goes slowly. You have to give an advert to the Human Resources Department of Justice. It has to go through a number of phases, and then it is, that vet has to go, and then by the time you see it in the newspaper, sometimes it's after 3 months. So that's what happens. But we are committed. I think the CEO, can you talk about funding, the question that was asked by Honorable, because we have not spent. The problem is that it took such a long time to get the adverts out that we had budgeted for compensation of employees. So because it took a lot of time to fill in these positions, then there's under expenditure. It's going to happen again today because we have advertised in some instances, we have to re-advertise. So we're still going to have the same problem. There are dependencies. Even if we want to move very fast, we have to get the Minister of Finance. The Minister, it's a very busy person, and he has lots of issues, I'm sure. But we were going to try, because if we, once we get him, we hope that that's why we want to try with this, meet with the officials first, so that after that it will probably be quicker. And I must say, the last time why we managed to get the Minister of Finance is because the Deputy Minister of Justice assisted us. And we're hoping he'll be able to assist us once again to secure an appointment to the Minister of Finance. Honorable Mlaozi, 2017-18, as I said, when we present, I don't know if you want the information or when we present the annual report, we'll give you all that information. How long will it take for us to be fully established? As I said, there are interdependencies, because it depends on the Minister of Finance. Once we see him, then once he approves, then we'll be able to advertise the post that he will have approved. The listing remains. The Minister of Justice, I think the Deputy Minister has answered that question. But what is interesting, what I want to highlight, Chairperson, sorry, it's just one issue. No, you're looking at the time. The independence is being articulated very interestingly in our Act. I think we're one of the few organizations that table regulations ourselves in Parliament without going through the executive. In fact, our regulations, we do consult the minister, we inform the minister, we gave him a copy of the regulations, the Minister of Justice, but we tabled it ourselves. We asked for direction from the Speaker of the National Assembly and the Chairperson of the NCOP, and they directed us on how to do it, and we did that, and in December, I think, they were tabled. So that's how you know the independence is recognized. As I say, no other, even the Chapter 9s, they go through the Minister of Justice to table their regulations. So public awareness strategy. Thank you very much, Honorable Jagan, for raising the issue of how we're going to roll out the public awareness strategy. And how we're going to communicate also with particular groups. One of the things, the implementation, we have just, in our awareness, we have targeted a few stakeholders. One of them is the grant beneficiaries arising out of the SASSA case, how personal information was used. And I think together with one a black sesh, actually, we have agreed that we'll do with them a joint stakeholder engagement, public awareness at that level with people who receive grants to be able to. So that is coming. So we because of the budgetary constraints and that we don't have a lot of warm bodies, we just looked at a few things in the implementation. Political parties, I have to mention, is another thing. As Honorable Deputy Minister said, the way personal information was processed during the elections by political parties was a source of concern. We issued a guidance note on that. But the second issue that we're going to look at is the IEC, the way they process personal information in the voters' roll, because they're holding a lot of personal information. So we agreed that with them that we won't disturb them, because they were running elections, but we're planning a major meeting in November where Parliament will also be invited to this committee to just think through whether the Electoral Commission has to be amended or not, the Electoral Act. So that's one that we are looking at. And the health sector, which is a big sector, and those are the few things. We just identified five things that we'll do until the end of the financial year. Yeah, because we just don't have enough warm bodies. I think that there were points and Advocate Strom, the rest of the question.
Thank you, Chairperson. I'll respond to Honorable Mufokeng's question on the complaints and investigation. Yes, on our proposed organogram, we anticipate having a complaints and investigation unit, because that's the core. I mean, you receive a lot of complaints, and I think with the breaches, the rate that which they have been reported,
we need to have that investigation unit. And in handling these complaints, if you look at our APPs, as the CEO has mentioned, we have already appointed a service provider who has developed the complaints management processes for us, the SOPs, standard operating procedures, and a manual. I think today is the due date for them to finish some of the SOPs, and then we have signed off their deliverables. So we just need to approve the system ourselves and then go on the testing and piloting. So we are aligning the system with the unit that we anticipate having in the regulator. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. Just on the issue of the positions, there are two positions that the regulator intends to on executive level, which is the executive for the protection of personal information and then the executive for the promotion of access to information. Those two positions have been advertised, but subsequently the candidates were not found to be suitable for appointment. So there is an initiative that we are going to embark on in line with the processes of the department so that we could reconsider the appointments. But subsequently to that, there is a post which is called ECP, Education, Communication and Provincial Coordination. That specific position will also be considered because those were the positions that the chairperson referred to earlier, was consulted with the Minister of Finance for the phase one filling of the organogram or the structure. And then what is also very important to understand is that the positions that we have now filled is the positions that relate to the executives only. So the next phase will be another consultation which we anticipate to have with the Minister of Finance during the course of the next few months. But what is also key to point out with regards to the budget is 28.9 million, but the bulk, as the chairperson said, relates to COE. So because we cannot fill the two executive positions timeously or currently are not filled, that budget which was allocated is anticipated to result in a saving on underspend. But that underspend, there's also the issue of shifting of funds. So COE is cost of employees and needs a different process to be consulted with justice upon so that we can get to maybe minimize the impact of underspend in that specific area. But also what is very important for us is just to consider that the budget that was currently allocated and the number of positions filled is actually the one that was thought through between the Minister of Finance and the regulator. And then lastly, to emphasize, there is an article that was published to say the appointment of the chairperson of the information regulator on the UN body enhances the digital space. So that's actually a value add for us, but we monitor the social media on an informal basis. So there's already pluses that we receive to actually enhance and increase the regulator's image, if I can put it that way. Thank you so much.
Okay, thank you, Chair. I'll speak to the budget and financial issues. As been indicated by the members and the chairperson, as a result of the underspending on compensation of employees, we anticipate savings. Okay, but in addition to that, we have asked for an additional 6 million rand from Department of Justice. Okay, so the net effect on the budget, Chair, may actually be a null effect or actually an actual reduction, but we need to allocate funds to goods and services. And these are mainly for advertising, branding, and communications of the regulator. It's for the rental of the new office space that we have subleased from the SA Human Rights Commission, which was a vacant space in their building, and we've obtained National Treasury approval for that sublease. Okay, it's for security and cleaning of our buildings. It's venue hire for workshops and for awareness programs of the regulator. It's for that PABX system because literally we don't have communication technology internally in our offices. But, you know, as I say, it's for an additional 6 million rand, and there may be additional expenditure there that we will be willing to share in a written response. Actual versus budget for the prior years, I think we will be revealing that in our annual report, which we will have to publish by the end of September 2019. We will disclose that. In terms of the number of members, at the moment, the only warm bodies that are present at the regulator are the five members, okay, including the chairperson, the CEO, and the CFO. All the other positions are vacant. So we have, for example, five executive officer positions that are vacant. We have the executive assistant for the chairperson that is vacant, and then we have six personal assistants for the chairperson, the CEO, the CFO, the members, as well as the executive officers. We've been instructed by National Treasury to share personal assistance and not to have individual personal assistance assigned. So in that respect, we will be complying with all of that. As our administration capacity increases, I think you will see as well, the outputs of the information regulator will improve as we operationalize the entity. Other than that, I think I will now hand back. Thank you.
Okay, so thanks, Chairperson. Just to add further on this, to clarify this issue of budget, the posts that have been mentioned by the CFO takes this whole compensation budget of about 18 million. Had we filled all positions as at 1 April, we will not be talking about a saving, because we have already now crunched numbers. We find that these are the only posts that we can fill. Then the issue of having a saving and going forward, going to Treasury for more money, is based on the structure now that is being developed further, your second phase and third phase. Because we realize that the baseline that currently appear in the ENE for the Department of Justice shows the amounts that are very low. So during this period of submitting your MTEC submissions, we had to revise the baselines and indicate that for the current year, we will need additional amount of so much. Then for the 2021 MTEF, our baseline will have to go up based on the structure, because we'll be filling the posts in phases. Then the last issue relates to the building. The accommodation that we managed to get with the Human Rights Commission is for a period of 3 years. And in our engagement with the officials now, they indicated to us that they've started a procurement process for new accommodation, because their lease will be ending. So as it stands, it's only for 3 years. There's no guarantee that at the end of this period, 31st December 2021, they will still be there or will be there. So we will also start our own process towards the end of this financial year now to start thinking about putting together your bid specifications and all that. But that is also dependent on the structure to say for head office, how many staff members are we going to have? Then that will inform the size of the space that we will require at head office level. Thank you.
No, thank you very much for the responses. They will assist us as we are in the process of developing our program of action as the committee, because we will go through each and every entity that we have met to say which areas or which issues we think that we must take them up with the relevant other portfolio committees and ministries, because we are not only there to ask the questions, we are also there to assist you to do your work in a more optimal way.
you are at a very important structure as you are positioning South Africa in the information world, which is a very big in terms of economy, protection, human rights and all of those issues. So it's a structure that we want to see it being capacitated as soon as possible. Because if we don't, then we will be overtaken in this fourth industrial revolution if we don't have the necessary tools to protect personal information of our people. The vultures out there will eat us for lunch. So we are going to be identifying areas that we will take them forward on our side. We think that the debate as to whether you're a Chapter 9, or the, I think the committee will be seized with that. I think we will have to debate it as the committee and see whether we will agree or don't agree with that. And then how do we take it forward? And some of the legislative amendments that you are proposing, but we don't see this as a once-off until we meet next year or when you present your annual plan. We will have subcommittees that will be interacting with most of our entities much more regularly, because we want to be robust in our oversight. But in a manner that also add value in the work of the entities we are oversighting. So I would also like to take this opportunity to congratulate you, Chairperson, on your appointment. Please carry our flag. We know that you will be a very good ambassador, brand as ambassador for our country. We hope to meet you in the full as a full committee in September, but we will interact with you in between from now and until September. We'll be interacting with yourselves. Okay. No, thank you very much for the briefing. I am still worried, because I really do not want us to fight next time. If you don't have telephones, you don't have anything, you don't have secretaries, I am extremely worried.
See, we've got some nice furniture for them there from correctional services if you need.
Yes. But they are supposed to be dealing with information without information tools. I think we need to enter the fray ourselves and to try and ensure that we assist you. Thank you very much. Yeah, coffee break for 2 minutes.